Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I began a message, just got into it, and what we want to talk about these several days are the eye, not the natural eye, but the spiritual eye. And I read a passage of scripture found in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus began to talk about the things that defile a man. And beloved, years ago, when Brother Glass started the ministry in 1965, the Lord gave him a slogan, if you will, for the ministry, the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world. And beloved, it is important to understand that Jesus, when he came to deliver the whole man. He came to deliver every man, woman, and child ever to be born. He came to deliver them mind, soul, and body. And as the representatives of Christ, the ambassadors of Christ, we have that same commitment. We have that same commission, if you will. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of them. And beloved, when we preach, the truth will set you free. And we don't see a lot of deliverance taking places, even in our churches. Why? Because we're not being fully taught the full and whole Word of God. And beloved, our young people, our children, have been taught for decades just to express themselves, to cast off restraints, just be your individual self. And beloved, when we act our individual selves, and when I grew up, beloved, in the 40s and 50s, there was discipline. Children were not allowed to run around and make noise like they do in supermarkets or post offices today. I mean, it's shocking, but that was another era. And as what we're seeing, we're bearing fruit in our present-day society. We're reaping the whirlwind because we've disobeyed the Word of God, even in terms of the home, marriage, and raising children. And beloved, we have trouble. Why? Because our carnal self have been infected, have been destroyed, really. That is, well, the spirit man has been destroyed, has been killed, really. That spirit man is dead, separated from God. And we were born in this condition because our father Adam was responsible for putting us in that condition. It's talked or described as original sin. And as we go back now to the text that I shared in Mark, Jesus was talking about 13 things that defile a man. And mentioned is one of the least preached about or taught about or discussed in the church. And yet, if you really look at what it means, it is perhaps one of the more prevalent sins in the church today. In the church, what did Jesus say defiled a man? He was very clear: evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, and he included in these things the evil eye. Let me read a corresponding scripture found in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Let me stop. Not what you put in your mouth, not what you're eating. For out of the heart, Jesus continued, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. He said, an evil eye in Mark. Now, what does this mean? Have you ever really thought about what does it mean to have an evil eye? Of the 13 things listed in the 7th chapter of Mark, every person who confesses Jesus Christ and has experienced salvation has been taught to renounce those things that defile a man, to renounce evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Jesus said all these things were evil, but in that list was an evil eye. And I don't know about you, but I've heard few sermons on conquering or getting rid of the evil eye. But this evil thing is one of the more subtle devices that Satan uses to ensnare, entrap, and bring down the Christian. Now, what does an evil eye mean? Well, I have an 1828 edition of Noah Webster's Dictionary, the original one. Well, it's not the original, but it's a copy. And an evil eye means to look with an evil eye, or with envy, jealousy, or bad design. Now, if we go back to that original scenario in the garden, Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent. And I think we could accurately say that Satan had an evil eye. He definitely had a bad design. He was envious and jealous of the love that God had bestowed upon Adam and Eve. He actually had created them in his very own image. That's what the Word of God tells us. So he was envious, he was jealous, and he certainly had a bad design. And beloved, when we are subject to sin, when we are under the effects of sin in an unsaved state, that is our very nature. Everything in us, I mean, you take an innocent baby and they're just a baby, but as they grow, you begin to see the temper, you begin to see the selfishness. Why? Weren't they just the sweet little innocent baby? Well, yes, but they had a fallen nature. They have sin just like the oldest person living on the earth, unless they're a born again Christian. They're under the effect of original sin, under the effect of what Satan produced in the human race by our rebellion and disobedience against God. Now, Paul said that we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We're told in Romans 6 and 4 that we were buried with Christ. And just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In verse 6, Paul states, "For we know that our old self," listen to that, "was crucified with him." When we get saved, that carnal nature is crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's what we were before salvation. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. In verse 11 of Romans, we find, "In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires." Now, here's the secret, beloved. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been returned from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Thank God for that. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. The devil came to Adam and Eve, and in his temptation to them, he appealed to them to look at something with their eyes, the goodness of the forbidden tree and its fruit. And basically, let me just suggest, they began to look at that forbidden tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They saw it was good to eat. Well, now, obviously, it wasn't that they were in a place of starvation. They had all of their needs met. They could eat of every tree of the garden. It wasn't that they were physically hungry and there was a need, but Satan was appealing to the very thing that tested him eons before when he rebelled against God and took a third of the angels. What did I say the evil eye was? It was looking with an evil eye, with envy or jealousy. Isn't that exactly what Satan did? He said, I will be like the Most High. He wanted the worship of the angelic realm. He wanted to exalt his throne above the Most High. He wanted to be like God. He wasn't satisfied with his glorious state that he was in already, the cherub that covered the very throne of God, who led praise and worship in heaven. He was dissatisfied with that. He wanted more. And that sin of pride was his downfall, and that's the very thing that caused Adam and Eve to fall. God was holding out on them somehow, and if they would eat of that tree, they would be like gods. What does it say in the third chapter of Genesis, verses 2-7? She says to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then, of course, the serpent countered that. Well, beloved, I'm just getting into the message, and I pray that you'll be able to be with me tomorrow. If not, remember, you can go to our website, unveilchrist.org, should you miss or want to rehear a broadcast, and you can click on the broadcast, listen anytime at your convenience. But in the moments that remain, I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests. You can send that email. I know in today's world, everything is instant. We don't. Letter writing is a thing of the past, practically. But some of you still enjoy writing letters. And you know what? The Bible that we read, that's a collection of letters, love letters to us. And they're going to be books in heaven. It didn't say anything about computers. For those of us up in years, I rejoice in that. Anyway, beloved, if God's moving on your heart, he's got a reason for doing it. Obey him. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. I love you. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.